It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Georgia executed Troy Davis in 2011. Davis was convicted of killing a Savannah police officer 20 years earlier. The case sparked international interest. Jimmy Carter, Pope Benedict, former Georgia Congressman Bob Barr, and many others spoke out against the execution. In the end, though, their pleas did not sway the court systems. On September 22nd, 2011, many NPR listeners woke up to this from Morning Edition co-host Steve Inskeep.
Davis appealed yesterday to the U.S. Supreme Court, which rejected his request for a stay of execution. The victim's family yesterday said justice has been served. According to reporters who were present, Davis used his last words to tell them that he was innocent and to wish mercy on those who put him to death.
4.5 years after Davis's execution, the case is still drawing attention. A new play currently on stage at Synchronicity Theater in Atlanta presents both sides of the case. It's called Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Troy Davis Project. Playwright Lee Noel is my guest today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what attracted you? Did you want to write a play about Troy Davis, or did you want to write a play about the death penalty and you were just looking for a case? What was it?
I was very drawn to the Troy Davis case because it was so polarizing on both sides. A lot of people believed that he was innocent. Some people believed that he was guilty. And everyone believed that they were right. And it's not possible for everyone to be right in this particular case. So I was interested in determining why it was that someone would believe what they believed.
And you seem to have gone back to a lot of just nonfiction sources to draw from. I want to play this comment from Amy Maxwell. She is the executive director of the Georgia Innocent Project and attended a recent performance of the show. She was actually involved in the case. And 4.5 later, she says she also thinks it's important to tell the story.
There was an enormous amount of media around the world in 2011 when he was executed. And I think that people really knew in their hearts that they didn't know enough. And I think that's one of the things that this play helps us with, is at least it gives us more information and in a different way than the media gave it to us. It gives us in a much more emotional way, and it gives us both sides, I mean, arguments from both sides that we can take in and interpret however we need to.
What were you, I mean, because you were relying on nonfiction sources, how did you go about trying to, I guess, carve an objective pathway through all of the emotion?
I gave equal validity to anyone's emotion that they had about the case. And I believe that people suffered because of the case, regardless of which side they were on. So I tried to find the heart center of a reason why someone would be upset that he was innocent and the reason why someone would be upset that he was guilty and what that meant in terms of that person's particular human experience.
And you did it through this, part of the way is through this married couple who have very different ideas on his guilt or innocence. The wife is named Allison, very much against the sentencing and against the execution. Her boyfriend named Bob is adamant about Davis's guilt.
The man is guilty.
He's innocent. Amnesty says...
I don't give a damn what Amnesty says. They have an axe to grind. They want to end the death penalty, even if they have to state over the truth to do
you
it.
You don't know what the truth is.
And neither do you. Neither do they. Neither do any of us, because everyone involved in this case is either lying or wrong, whether they admit that or not, whether they understand that or not.
I found that interesting. Everyone involved in this case is either lying or wrong. What does that mean?
Well, I think from Bob's perspective, I should tell you that Bob is a fictional character.
Yeah.
Troy Davis is not a character in the play. Bob, who you just heard, is a fictional character. He is a corporate attorney. So his perspective derives from his background. His perspective is that the system works and that he was basing his idea that everyone in this case is lying on the witnesses who then recanted, and he considered that, you know, that they were lying when they recanted. Other people, of course, believed that they were lying in the testimony, that it was coerced, and that they told the truth when they came out with their recantations. And then the thing about everyone in this case is either lying or wrong. The wrong part is there were so many things that came forward following the end of the trial that contested things that came up in the trial. So there was a lot of conflicting I'm going to call it fact, but it depends on what you consider fact. And so Bob is saying that the system works and that that they got the case right.
And you get into all the emotions that surround this kind of case, even if for people who have no personal connection with, say, Troy Davis or anybody who may be convicted or about to be executed. So here's a scene from the show. The character Lucy, who's with Amnesty International, learns that Troy Davis's execution will go forward. So the first voice we hear is Bob, and then we also hear his girlfriend, Allison.
The man will be executed tomorrow, and there's nothing that you can do to stop it.
Hey, what'd the Board of Pardon say? Oh, God. I'll be there in a few minutes. They rejected his bid for clemency. Oh, God. I'll grab the signs and meet you outside, okay?
Okay.
Do you feel like you got an understanding of why people do become so emotional about a case like this that may involve someone they don't know?
I think that we do that. I think everyone does that, right? When you look at a case, a media, something that you see on television or you read about it online, and you base your opinion on it based on your personal experiences, on what you've personally lived through. And I think people latch on to what they believe about the world based on what they've lived. And I think that's why a lot of people got involved in the Troy Davis case, because they sensed that something was wrong with it. They just couldn't put their finger on exactly what it was.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Lee Noel. Her play, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Troy Davis Project, is on stage now at Synchronicity Theater, which is in Atlanta. And if you are one of those people that has a strong opinion on the Troy Davis trial and execution, did you ever hear something or see something that caused you to either doubt his guilt or doubt his innocence? You can tweet us your thoughts at OST Talk. Let me play again another comment from Amy Maxwell. Again, she oversees the Georgia Innocent Project and went to see the show. Here she's talking about sort of the larger implications of this case.
Well, I think that the idea that we're going to continue to talk about this, and both in terms of the death penalty and in race, I think that hopefully it will cause some people, particularly legislators and maybe even the courts, to examine the way they're viewing the criminal justice system and seeing how we can reform it.
To what extent is your play really a product of this particular age in which race in criminal justice is so much national conversation, in which police procedure and prosecutorial procedure is so much a part of our conversation as Americans? Is this play, Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, a product of this time?
I think the case, the Troy Davis case, was certainly a case of its time, and it was the flashpoint, in my personal opinion, for us to start looking at the criminal justice system and to look at how race plays a major role in the outcome of certain cases, a lot of cases, actually. And I think it's when we all started thinking to ourselves, okay, what's happening here? And from the Troy Davis case, we've seen, you know, the world start to turn its eyes on the entire system and what needs to change.
And you also have to, I mean, you can't walk away from this show without at least thinking about the deployment of the death penalty, the use of the death penalty, and whether it's worth it. How do you get at that as a playwright without shutting people's minds off? Do you know what I mean? I mean, people have very fixed opinions often on something as emotional as the death penalty. How do you get around those fixed opinions?
The play plays in different order every night. So,
right. Sometimes you start with Act Two and sometimes you start with Act One.
Correct. And one of the acts brings forth evidence pointing to Troy Davis's innocence, and one act brings forth evidence pointing towards Troy Davis's guilt. We flip the acts so that each perspective receives equal playing time and equal precedent. So to answer your question, what I'm trying to do is present both sides of the issue equally. And that means that if you walk in with an opinion about the death penalty, or you walk in with an opinion about the Troy Davis case, if you don't encounter the perspective that you have in Act One, you're going to encounter the perspective you have in Act Two.
I mean, this is something that the characters themselves are grappling with. This is a scene between a young man named Curtis and his grandmother, Mary.
So if you kill someone, the state kills you. That doesn't make moral sense.
Yes, it does.
I'm not saying that murderers don't deserve punishment. I'm saying prison is punishment. And life in prison without parole is a death sentence. Don't you see that?
A murderer doesn't deserve to live.
You guys are having discussions after each performance, is that correct?
Yep, every show.
And how has that gone?
It's really interesting, actually. What's great is that people are being very honest about their opinions. We take a vote. You close your eyes and you vote on what you believe about the case, what you believe about the death penalty. We've even got abortion with pro-choice and pro-life in the play and how that aligns with capital punishment. So that's interesting as well. So people, it's interesting how forthcoming and how honest and how, I guess, calm everyone is talking about this, even though they don't agree with each other. We've had
audiences. Did you expect them to not be calm?
Well, I think that if you look back at the Troy Davis case, nobody was calm, right? Everybody was freaking out. No matter which side of the fence they were on, everyone was freaking out. And this play shows that very clearly, and it shows reasons why people would believe what they believe. And so, also, I would also say that in this particular political climate, people are outraged all the time, but they're not speaking to the person on the other side of the fence, and they're not having reasonable conversations, and they're not listening to each other. What's remarkable about the talkback every night after this play is that people on opposite sides of the fence are talking to each other, are respecting what the other person has to say, and are moving through what it is that they believe and trying to determine why they believe what they believe. So I think that's what's miraculous to me and great.
How challenging was it, or not at all, to use the original source material? Because you used all kinds of things like transcripts from the court. You used news reports, legal briefs, and other things that were nonfiction documents. Was that limiting in any way?
No. The only limit was determining how much to use because, you know, I started with, I think, 2,000 pages of trial transcripts and then...
Holy cow.
Yeah. So that was point one. Then the legal rulings and the briefs and then the recantations and a bunch of other court documents and then moved on to every single article online I could get my hands on. And then when I ran out of articles, I'd read every single reader comment, no matter how long it went.
Wow.
300 comments.
You know, they say don't read the comments.
But I found those to be very revealing about what people who weren't in the media thought. It was actually a touchstone for me to see what other people thought about it.
Well, let's hear one more clip. This is a scene from the actual courtroom, some testimony. The first voice you hear is a judge. The second voice is Lucy, who we heard from before, a representative from Amnesty International, and she is advocating for Davis.
The court is left with the firm conviction that while the state's case may not be ironclad, most reasonable jurors would again vote to convict Mr. Davis of Officer McPhail's murder.
In this case, nearly every witness who identified Davis as the shooter at trial has now disclaimed his or her ability to do so reliably. If recantation testimony shows convincingly that prior trial testimony is false, it simply defies all logic and morality to hold that it must be disregarded categorically.
So after all this time, Lee Noel, and all of the thousands of pages of transcripts and comments and news reports that you've read, do you feel like you have all the information that you need to at least make a decision for yourself on this case?
I'm trying to be as balanced as possible about it and keep myself as centered in the middle as I possibly can in order to have these talkback conversations every night. So I'm trying to not.
I don't mean to ask. I'm not trying to ask you whose side you're on. I'm just saying, do you feel like you know everything that you need to know?
I think I know more than I wanted to know about what went wrong in the case. I think I know more than I wanted to know about the injustice that is constantly happening in the justice system. I don't think that that's intentional. I think it just is something that needs to be addressed. I should also say that the previous clip we heard was Chief Justice Leah Sears from the Georgia Supreme Court, her dissenting opinion on the case after the Judge Moore quote that we heard. I hope that's helpful.
Well, people can decide for themselves by going to see the show. It's called Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Troy Davis Project. It's on stage at Synchronicity Theater in Atlanta through May 1st. And the playwright is Lee Noel. Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we welcome your opinions. Our own Grant Blankenship tweets this: the Troy Davis execution was the only time I saw protesters overflow across the street from the prison. So send us your thoughts as well. You can tweet us at OST Talk.